A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 11th May 2021, Tuesday class. So we'll be continuing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, Teachings from the Adapted Verses of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. We are at page 231. Okay, so as usual, we are off the light. And we'll have half an hour of awareness space meditation before we start the class. Okay, just relax body and mind completely. Then maintain awareness within. Then just silence your mind, silence everything. Relax, completely relax body and mind. Maintain awareness. Relax body and mind, complete. The purpose of the formal meditation is to develop the training of the mind to be aware, then stabilize it to be ever mindful, to realize our true mind. The moment you are without thought, you are already in the awareness state, so don't try to practice or do anything. Just silent, relax. And maintain awareness. Whatever that arises, just aware, finish. Aware, finish. So whatever mind state that arises, whether tactile contact or any of the senses, whatever that is triggered upon contact, something will arise. Then wherever your mind is, there is also the awareness there. So you just maintain awareness. Don't allow the thinking to continue. Just aware. Finish. Relax. Maintain awareness. Just aware. 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 That's it. That's how you stabilize your mind. Your awareness within. The awareness nature can only be realized when your thinking stops, when the mundane mind is no longer active. So to do that, you need to have spiritual faculties so that your awareness sati is there, samadhi is there. But before your spiritual faculty stabilize, there is a period where the mundane mind, the sankhara activity, will need to slowly settle down. If you already train your mind, it will settle down very fast. If you already have the spiritual faculty, the daily mindfulness developed, a religious routine cultivated, stabilized, then it's very easy to be in that meditative state. You just relax, silent. You are in the meditative state straight away. You no need to do anything. Then you just maintain awareness. That is meditation. Then stabilize the awareness nature. Okay? You can be seated. Just relax. Body and mind, maintain some form of attention, then we start. We will continue from where we stopped. We are at page 231. There is a new adapted verse. One who has wisdom but does not learn extensively will not know true appearances. So this is very important. Sometimes you may start to develop the ability to awaken. Then some form of wisdom dawn upon you, but then after that, you do not continue to cultivate, to develop deeper understanding, extensive understanding of the Buddha Dharma, especially life itself. Your life itself is our greatest teacher. Everything within life is Dhamma, because this is true. Dhamma is true. So whatever that happened within existence, within life, it is the truth. That's why it's called the reality, suchness, tatata. So once we have developed wisdom, we must also develop extensive learning. Otherwise, we end up one-sided. So I read the whole stanza, and maybe we go into the commentaries after that. One who has wisdom but does not learn extensively will not understand or know true appearances. This is very true. This is like being in the dark. We have eyes, yet we cannot see. One who learns extensively means too much knowledge, but does not have wisdom or understanding, also will not know true appearances. This is like being in the light. There is a lamp, yet we are not illuminated. Because like in the daylight, if you carry a torchlight or you have a lamp in your hand, it's not going to make that luminous, what they call, if there is no light, no sunlight, no daylight, then maybe that torchlight or that whatever light or lamp that you carry can illuminate the darkness. Then there is visibility, you can see. But when there is already what they call daylight, sunlight, so whatever small light you carry has no significance because you cannot make use of it. So it's like you have not really developed any understanding. Yeah. Because it is the daylight that allows you to see. But your seeing is without wisdom. It's not the direct seeing. You have not awakened to true appearances or phenomena. That's why you cannot understand. So all this understanding are very important. Then there is a footnote. This is a quote from the profound meaning of the Lotus Sutra by Venerable Ziyi, part 1, chapter 1 of the Lotus Sutta. Okay, we go back to the quote. We go to the next page. The commentaries. Everyone has wisdom equal to the Buddhas. But because we have been transmigrating in the sixth realm, our original nature is obscured by ignorance, and our wisdom cannot manifest. So this is what happened. In fact, each and every one of us, we have this Buddha nature within. Our true nature, our original nature, our oneness nature, which is the source of all things. From there, everything arises. But because when we arise, we need a form and mind to come into this existential world. So this form and mind that is karmically conditional for us to arise in this existential world, that form and mind is not connected to that Buddha nature or true nature. That one is a separate entity that is not your true nature. But from that one, when you meditate, you can connect, you can link, and you can realize your true nature, and you can understand all things. You can develop the wisdom equivalent to that of Sammasambuddha. So that's the reason why the commentary mentioned everyone has wisdom equal to the Buddhas. But because we have been transmigrating, means over the aeons and aeons of birth and death, transmigrating through the sixth realm, means samsara activity, birth and death, birth and death, birth and death. So due to the law of karma, due to avijja, ignorance, this transmigration, or what they call rebirth, will continue. The sixth rhyme is equivalent to the 31 plane of existence within Theravada tradition. So when you transmigrate, your original nature is obscure by ignorance, avijja. So the mundane mind, because of ignorance, wrong view, created sankhara activity for you to grasp onto, cling onto, hold onto. That's why you deludedly grab onto the five aggregate of form and mind, thinking that is you. You cling onto the thought process, the aggregates of mind, sankhara activity. That's the reason why your wisdom cannot manifest. So that is the explanation. Then we continue. Today, since we have the karmic condition to encounter the Buddha Dharma, we must seize the opportunity to listen to it. If we have wisdom but do not extensively listen, if we know that the Buddha Dharma is something beneficial and have faith in it, but do not explore further or deeply penetrate it to really understand, we still will not know true appearances. Because of this, we still cannot experience the profound and true essential meanings of the Buddha Dharma. This is like being in the dark space. Even though we have eyes, we cannot see our surroundings. Because the real seeing is with your nature. You actually don't need the organ of the eye to see. Yeah, that one is mundane seeing, mundane consciousness. That seeing consciousness that arises through nature's contact of the mind with the organ and together with the sense data, when the three conditions come into contact, it triggers off the respective sense or consciousness. And that one is dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. It's not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why Vedana, Sanya, Sankhara, Vijnana, and the mental form, the five aggregates of Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankhara, Vijnana, the two aspects, they are not real. They are not you. They are dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. So if you don't cultivate extensively, listen to the Dhamma, the true Dhamma, and constantly reflect, contemplate, inquire, and meditate on it, you can never truly understand. You can never penetrate all phenomena. Then you can never understand true appearances. So because of that, cultivation is not something you think you know, then you can be complacent. That's why complacency can bring about the downfall. Complacency can lead one to stagnate, to debate, and to stop progressing. So we need Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. The spiritual faculty need to be very stable until they become balanced, until they become unshakable. That's how we progress. Then we read on. One who listens extensively but does not have wisdom also will not know true appearances. This is according to the sutta. As we learn the Dhamma, we need to be mindfully listening, contemplating, and cultivating. After listening, we must not only contemplate, But we must also put the teaching into practice. This is all in the teaching we have already gone through. Listening is first learning wisdom. When you constantly listen, means listening to the Dhamma or to the discourse of the Buddha, means there is a type of wisdom that can arise. They call it Sutta-maya-panya, where Sutta is the discourse of the Buddha. So wisdom born of listening to the Sutta is the first turning wisdom. But first turning wisdom usually is not penetrative enough unless you have cultivated before in the past and you have your past parami to support you. Then different, the first turning can awaken you. Otherwise, you still have to continue with the second turning. That's why the second turning is after you have listened, in order to stabilize your understanding and deepen your understanding, you have to reflect on the teaching. You have to contemplate. Then you have to inquire deep into the teaching so that you can develop deeper understanding, so that you can stabilize all this understanding and slowly assimilate them into your nature. When you can do that, you develop second turning wisdom, which is called Chintamaya Panya. Panya or wisdom born of constant contemplation, reflection, and inquiry. Then after that, you have to go into the third turning. And the third turning is the real cultivation, or what we call putting the teaching into cultivation or practice. The third turning wisdom is Bhavana Maya Panya. Bhavana is the meditative training. Meditative training means the meditative cultivation. So when you put the teaching into cultivation, then you develop that very penetrative third turning wisdom, which is called Bhavana Maya Panya. That's how it's all connected. That's why it started with listening, then reflection, contemplation, inquiry, then putting it into practice. Otherwise, if you only listen according to the commentaries or the author, the word do not enter your heart because you haven't stabilized it and you haven't assimilated it into your nature. Your heart means your nature because the gateway to your nature is through the heart. Somewhere within the heart, there is a what they call gateway that connect you to your true nature. Otherwise, if we only listen, the words do not enter our heart. That is the meaning. If we cannot carefully contemplate and cultivate the teaching, then no matter how much we have heard, we will still never understand the true appearances of ultimate reality. This is very true. That's why I realize a lot of so-called cultivator or Buddhists, they like to listen to Dhamma, but they fail to move on with the practice, with the cultivation, the second turning and the third turning. Because in the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the Buddha make it very clear, even he himself, the Bodhisattva at that time, he has to understand the Four Noble Truths in his 12 mode, which is the three turnings. Because three turning of the Four Noble Truths, 3 × 4 is the 12 mode. That's how he become enlightened. Otherwise, he cannot call himself the fully enlightened one. So three turnings of the Four Noble Truths is very important. Otherwise, you gain mostly knowledge, Dhamma knowledge. Dhamma knowledge can never liberate your mind, can never free you from suffering and misery. It can give you some form of theoretical understanding. They say can do. You know, but you cannot do. Which means that knowledge cannot help you actually in making your life better or transform you. Means it has not become part of your nature. Which means you still don't really understand the Dhamma. You may have knowledge, like you can rattle off the sutta or memorize all the teaching, the three evil root, okay. Straight away you say greed, hatred and delusion, or some very well words in Pali, the Pali scholar. Then they will give you the Pali term, loba, dosa and moha. Then even the Four Noble Truth, kuji, mie tao. So dukkha samudaya, then you have the what they call nirodha, then marga in Pali, or suffering, the cause of arising of suffering, which is craving, then the cessation of suffering and the path that lead to the cessation. Maybe you can, through knowledge, rattle it off. Or even explain according to what you have heard, the sutta. But you cannot elaborate. You cannot give example. You cannot explain and relate it to real life situation to help people understand. To use that teaching to help you understand life and solve all life problems. That's where Dhamma knowledge has its limitation. If it's only Dhamma knowledge, it doesn't really help transform the individual. Knowledge alone cannot free you, cannot liberate you. You have to develop wisdom. Then the initial first turning wisdom born of listening normally is not penetrative enough, not stable enough. Unless your nature is very special, very unique from the past. Otherwise, it's not enough, not extensive enough. That's why most cultivators need to go into the second turning. Even my nature this time, I did a lot of second turning cultivation. Then, of course, later on, because of my understanding and my past inheritance, third turning was very easy. The meditative training, bhavana, mayapanya, is very easy for me because my nature understood what that thing is. Straight away, it does not deviate. It know how to meditate. It know how to go into the direct seeing. Means straight away, my nature go and develop the meditation according to what Hui Ning has realized. The three hallmark of winning. That's how I know how to relax body and mind, silent everything, to realize the first stage of winning's realization. The first hallmark, wu nian, no thought. No thought is your silent mind. No thought is your true mind, your meditative mind. That's how you have to relax, maintain awareness, and let the thought slow down and cease. Then you realize that silence within, the awareness nature within, that is your true mind. That is your meditative mind. That is the silent mind. And that one can awaken, can develop the wisdom and the understanding. That's why you have to meditate from your true mind, not from your mundane mind. Mundane mind lead to thought-based meditation, lead to knowledge. It can never penetrate the phenomena. It can never develop real wisdom. It can never insight into phenomena to realize its three universal characteristics. But it is the silent mind that can awaken, that can insight into phenomena, that can develop the direct seeing. So now you understand why cultivation needs to start from that silent mind. So because of that, when I went in, I realized what that thing is, what that nature is. That's why I progressed very fast. Then, of course, I inherited from my past. Then, because of the vow and all the condition, the teacher come, the guide come, the message come, the book come, everything that my nature need arise. Then all the great beings' nature, they help. Yeah. That's how everything fall into place. Then my nature straight away go back to its earlier cultivation level, very fast, within not more than 1 year. After my nature connect, then had the realization, then I continue to cultivate. Yeah. From that silent mind, when I was told about the gateway, then I silent my mind, relaxed. Then when he activated that gateway, my last guide, I straight away knew what that thing was. And I don't have to look for it. I save so much time. That's how the third turning, my nature don't need to really do. Because it's all already there with the understanding. So after I penetrated that, the first hallmark of winning, then that transformation was so fast. Then I inherited from my spiritual nature all the other understanding. That's why the second hallmark of winning, no mark. No mark of a self-cultivating, no mark of living beings, no mark of others, no mark of Dhamma, no mark of life, no mark of the phenomenal world. All this straight away my nature penetrate. Then later on, 9 months later, my mundane mind collapsed. After that, I realized the third stage, the third hallmark of winning, the mind must have no dwelling. And during that time when the nature shine forth, because the mundane mind collapsed, there is no more mundane mind to cloud that nature. That nature shine forth, the pure awareness, the true nature within. That's why that supramundane mind, that true mind, is ever shining, ever radiating. From then onward, it has no problem. It doesn't have any more problem. That's why it understands things very fast. It can penetrate truth very fast. It can develop understanding very fast. That's how all this is possible. So hopefully with this sharing, you will give faith to cultivator, to Kayamita, so that you all can develop the faith, the very strong sadha to go this way, that it is possible. And this line, my nature connect very fast. In fact, at the age of 35, I was born in the year 1954, 1989. I came to understand what this thing is. Then after that, I located the gateway. Then I moved. That's how all this happened. Okay, we continue. So we have finished the first paragraph. I just read the last part. Then no matter how much we have heard, we will still never understand the true appearance of ultimate reality, because if you only listen, not enough. Or you only read, not enough. You must put it into practice. You must constantly reflect, contemplate, and inquire. That's why the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths are very vital, very important in your cultivation. And to develop the third turning, Bhavana Maya Panya, you really have to stabilize your daily mindfulness. Otherwise, you can't. You look at the Avijja Sutta, you will know. The 10 step, the enlightenment sequence. You have to move through step 4 and step 5. Step 4 is to develop the initial wisdom born of constant contemplation, reflection, and inquiry, and also constantly listening to the Dhamma. to develop the faith, the understanding, to stabilize the understanding, assimilate into your nature. Then after that, develop the daily mindfulness to realize that four, which is sati sampajana. Then only you can move on to step eight, which is cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness. And that is the true four foundation of mindfulness, is the true the turning cultivation, bhavana, maya, panya. So from all this, you will understand what cultivation is all about. You have to do the three turning. You have to stabilize your daily mindfulness. You have to constantly reflect, contemplate, constantly. That's why it's a full-time job. You have to develop a very stable religious routine. Then your daily religious routine must complement your daily mindfulness. Until your awareness nature become very stable, very clear, then only sati sampajana can arise, mindfulness and clear comprehension. Because without step four, you cannot realize step five. And without step five, you cannot penetrate the Dhamma. There is no way. You need the initial wisdom to bring about the space between thought, to allow your true mind to surface, to have more and more moment of silent awareness without thought. That's how step four moves to step five. In order to have continuous daily mindfulness, which is sati sampajana, means ever mindful and constantly meditative with clear comprehension, you need to have a very stable daily mindfulness. That's why without daily mindfulness, you cannot really awaken. The real meditation only starts when you have finished step five. Because before that, the earlier meditation, not to say not real, but not penetrative, not the one that can actually transform you completely. Maybe give you some form of initial wisdom, initial understanding. But in order to really develop true understanding of the ultimate reality, you need to go into the full cultivation. So the whole of the Abhijja Sutta, the 10 step of enlightenment of the enlightenment sequence, needs to be closely adhered to. Then the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, all this you have to connect them. Then you follow what I have taught you all, guide you all, share with you all to develop the stability of daily mindfulness by having a very good daily religious routine. Is the Dhamma cultivation or activity that you do daily before you sleep, when you sleep, when you wake up, until before you sleep again. Everything that you do. That's why you need to meditate. You need to cultivate. You need to develop the cultivation in daily life. The daily mindfulness is to develop the cultivation in daily life. Otherwise, you cannot awaken. Okay, I read on that. This is like being in the light. There is a lamp, yet we are not illuminated. Yeah, it doesn't help. If we are in a room with a shining lamp, but avoid the light it casts and stay in the darkness corner or darkened corner, the light still will not illuminate us. Since we are listening to the Dhamma, we must seize every moment to contemplate it, to reflect upon it, and to inquire into it, then finally to put it into practice. Otherwise, we are listening without putting our mind into it, means Dhamma knowledge. Yeah. Which will hinder us and prevent us from attaining any realization. We are fortunate to be able to immerse ourselves in the Buddha Dhamma We must be sure to listen often and take what we hear to heart. If we always keep the Buddha Dharma in the heart, then we can walk among the people and benefit everybody. This is walking the Bodhisattva way, cultivating life after life for eons and eons and eons of birth and death. So this is how cultivation is to be developed. Yeah? So what has been shared is very good and very comprehensive. Please listen to a recording again. Yeah? What is shared in the book is just the surface. Yeah? They cannot elaborate to you the real cultivation, the full cultivation. Yeah? But you have the understanding and you have listened to my sharing before, then you can connect them, you can link them, and you will understand them. That's the reason why this sutta, Wu Liang Yi Jing, the sutta of infinite meaning, is very powerful, very beautiful. If we can hear only one phrase or one verse, we can realize hundreds, thousands, millions, and billions. I often say, by understanding one principle, we can realize 10,000. For example, we all know that if we are not getting enough nutrients, we must come up with methods to take in more. Nutrients can come from food. So one method we use is eating. This method does not need to be taught. When babies get close to their mother's breast, they will naturally start to suckle. This is a method that we know from birth. Human beings innately have this wisdom. There are many such methods that we carry within us. But if we do not make use of them, saying, I do not know how and I don't have the time to learn, then our wisdom will remain unawakened. A Tsuji commissioner, Ms. Ling, has been involved in our volunteer works for more than 10 years. Although she is still young, she has suffered from lung cancer, stomach cancer, and cornea abrasion. She has had over 10 major and minor operations or surgeries. However, she still takes on a lot of volunteer work, serving, for example, as a docent. Whenever we hold large historical exhibitions such as Xuan Zhang's Journey to the West and Zheng He's Travel, she dwells deeply into the classics and history and is able to explain the content of the exhibition as well as any historical or history professor. When she served as a hospital volunteer, she often shared her own experience when speaking with patients. I have 13 different scars on my body from 13 different kinds of operations or surgeries. But I can still do things to help others. After so many surgeries, is Miss Ling free from illness and pain? No. Actually, the illness is still with her. But every time the pain sets in, she relies on her steadfast resilience to cheerfully face it. After each surgery, she continued to volunteer as usual. In addition to volunteering at the hospital, she also regularly sought recyclables in her community. Bearing away support, she endured the pain, saying, Master has said, even pain can help us find joy. The pain let me know that I am still alive. So this is a very good way of contemplation. Despite the sickness, the disease, the pain, she perceived it with wholesomeness, no more negativity. That's why she can endure the pain with the understanding and the joy, saying, The pain let me know that I am still alive. That is a very positive way of looking at things. So if you can endure with understanding, means you can tolerate the pain, you can bear the pain, not a problem at all. She applied her wisdom to transform her pain into a driving force for her spiritual cultivation. This is really beautiful. In fact, many cultivators, they have different skillful means to motivate them to cultivate. Like Po Cheng's case, you can remember? Her motivation is what? I think she shared with us a lot, isn't it? For Po Cheng's case. She said, death is a certainty, and she may not have the time. That's why she really make it as an agency for her. Yeah, she always said she started late. She doesn't want to waste any more time. That's why she went all out and cultivate. And she was very full of faith, very serious, very sincere. And she persevered and she just followed the instruction closely. And she was able to develop the understanding and the progress. That's why my nature rejoiced. So everybody in cultivation, you can make use of whatever skillful means to motivate you. So different people do it differently. Some they develop faith, then from the faith they develop virya. Then some they see the urgency, they want to quickly free their mind. They don't want to come back suffering. Like any putujana that is deluded. So a lot of people strive on with heedfulness, develop the stability of faith, sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya, to go all out to cultivate, so that life after life, they don't have to suffer anymore. So that from now onward, with this understanding, they determine strongly, plant the seed of Bodhi, takes the Bodhisattva way, and do what they have to do to stabilize the understanding and to develop the condition for future cultivation. So whatever that can motivate you or give you the inspiration to strengthen your faith and determination to go this way, you can use it. And there are many examples in the teaching. The Buddha gave a lot of contemplative teaching. Buddha Nusati, contemplate the nine great virtues of the Buddha. Dhamma Nusati, Sangha Nusati, means you can contemplate and reflect on the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha. That's why you have chant the salutation to the Buddha, the Dhamma and the Sangha. Then meditate on death, Marana Nusati. Then there are a lot of other contemplative teaching or wisdom. You go to the sutta, you may find them. Okay, we go back to the sharing. Okay, we finish the second paragraph, so now we go to the third paragraph. She applied her wisdom to transform her pain into the driving force for her spiritual cultivation. So this is the part we are discussing, so we have gone through. Okay, then we move on. Viewing the illness as a chance to engage in spiritual practice. So this is also the urgency part, because she is so sick, so full of disease and pain. So it drives her not to waste any more time to develop the cultivation. So this is how it can be done, viewing the illness as a chance to engage in spiritual practice. She diligently make progress, not letting any of her life to go to waste. Just according to the Buddha, the best time to cultivate is when you are confronting the first noble truth, its reality. Because under the second turning of the first noble truth, this noble truth or dukkha is to be understood. You have to understand it. So how can you develop understanding of it unless you confront it? In her case, it's disease, sickness, illness. That's why she makes use of it. Okay, I will read on. Every day, her smile brightens her face. This is beautiful. Her illness cannot defeat her because she believes she still has a lot to offer. Now, this is very good way of perceiving things with understanding and with maybe wholesomeness. She often says, I still have a mouth and two legs. I'm still able to talk and walk. So I must make the most of my time to tell people about Shiji, volunteer with Shiji and walk the Shiji path. Whenever she is invited to a Shiji event, she will always participate and does so very happily. This is really beautiful. A very good example of a true cultivator with faith. Her perseverance has touched many, and her entire family participate in Shiji work with her. The Dhamma is constantly manifested in her action, and this influences others as well. Isn't this an example of how one Dhamma can give rise to infinite meaning, and infinite meaning returns to the one Dhamma? So when you have the understanding from a single condition or situation, you can develop the understanding. That's why one Dhamma can give rise to infinite meaning or infinite Dhamma. And infinite Dhamma finally returns to one Dhamma. Because basically, Dhamma is true. When you have awakened to the truth, you will awaken to all understanding. I will read on. Since she has already taken the Dhamma that she has heard into her heart, her deep penetration of the Dhamma has arose her wisdom. As a Shiji volunteer, she views every person as a suitor. Well, this is beautiful. This life itself is the teaching. Is our greatest teacher, means every living being which exists in life is a sutta to her, and engrave their teachings on her heart. From hearing only one phrase or one verse, she can realize hundreds, thousands, millions, and billions. Therefore, no obstacle can defeat her. The Buddha Dhamma is wisdom. The Dhamma is not just what is written in the text or holy scripture. We do not have to be sitting in the prayer hall to be listening to the Dhamma. If we can see with our ears and listen with our eyes, so you think it's wrongly phrased? No, it's not wrongly phrased. Because when you understand the six sense door, they are interpenetrative. Because what you need is the mind. All these six sense door, six sense bases, the common denominator is the mind. So we read the notes, note 32. See with your ear and listen with your eye is a unique teaching given by Master Zhenyan Pa Shi. By Master Cheng Yuan. which means to put your heart and mind into comprehending something, even when you cannot see. If we listen mindfully, it is as if we have seen with our own eyes. Hence, see with your ears. So this is another way of explaining it. It is the same with listening with your eye. Even when you cannot hear, we can take in and understand the meaning from the speaker's body language and facial expression. So this is how the actually author explained. But the deeper explanation is the six sense organ, they are all interpenetrative. If you read the Surangama Sutta, you will understand it's explained inside there. Because the common denominator is always the mind, the consciousness. Without the mind, without the consciousness, all these respective sense or consciousness cannot arise. They arise because of that. That's why they are all interpenetrative. Okay, I will read on. See with your ear and listen with your eye. Every action by every person is Dhamma, which is true. You can observe, you can listen attentively, you will develop interpenetrative understanding. Everyone innately possesses wisdom. Of course, this can be easily understood. Where each and every one of us, we have the Buddha nature. Our nature is the same. The only difference is the enlightened one is not obscure. They are awake. They are not deluded. They do not have ignorance. They do not have wrong view. Whereas those who are deluded or heedless, their inner wisdom has been obscured. Their nature has been obscured because of their ignorance, their wrong view. So this phrase is beautiful. Everyone innately possesses wisdom. So we must not be indolent. Indolent means lazy. Do not be indolent. So laziness is also due to complacency. When we are complacent, we do not strive on anymore. That's why it's also indolence. And let our time go to waste. They don't know how to strive on with heedfulness. That's why they lack faith, they lack virya, they lack understanding. Then I read on. As long as we apply our wisdom, we will keep progressing in our spiritual cultivation. This is very true. Your initial wisdom, when they arise, you must keep on applying them. Because this one will spontaneously arise and prompt you and let you understand. So this statement is very beautiful. As long as we apply our wisdom, means the initial wisdom, the yoniso manasikara, we will keep progressing in our spiritual cultivation. And our wisdom life will continue to grow. So this is very beautiful. Okay, we stop here. Then we open up for Dhamma discussion and meditation reporting, Q&A session.
Good evening, Brother Teo.
Jin Hao, Sadhu.
Come on. Sadhu. Yes. I have some questions to ask regarding the meditations.
Sadhu.
Good. Yes. I've been doing lying down meditations for the past few months, since January.
Yes.
Okay. I was wondering, like, when is the time, for a for a person like me, when is a person that I should do the lying down or the sitting meditation, So,
what was your question? I don't get it.
Question is, like, because, should I continue to do the lying down or should I it's also a general question, like when should we switch from like, you know, lying down to sitting or sitting to lying down, you know? Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay. Okay, I know, I understand your question, yes.
All right.
Okay. I will answer this first.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Sadhu to you, huh?
So, yeah, sadhu, yeah.
I think it's a very good question because very few people have the understanding. And the problem with cultivator is, yes, most of the time, cultivator has been taught only doing sitting. So to them, if they see, they have a method and a technique, they are doing meditation. Then sometimes they link the method and technique to certain type of meditation. They say they are doing vipassana meditation. So you have to understand, vipassana meditation is a meditation that you cannot do. Because vipassana is to insight into phenomena, to awaken. So it's not a doing. It's a cultivation that need to the awakening or the realization. So you need to meditate with understanding. So coming back to meditation, you can recall what I mentioned or what I have explained. If you meditate with understanding, then this question, I use the word technically, should not arise. It's whatever that suit you, that benefit you, you can use it. Because the four posture is also meditation. Life itself is meditation. So meditation can be done in all posture, at all time, at all place. What you need is, are you training your mind to develop heedfulness? If you have the understanding, then whatever you do, whether sitting or lying down, is to check, what are you doing in the name of meditation? Why do you sit? Why do you lie down? Why do you do walking meditation? Why do you do the daily contemplation? Why do you have a religious routine? Basically, is to understand what meditation is and what you are doing in the name of meditation. If you understand that, that focus come back, then you will know what to do. But there is no hard and fast rule about what must you do. Whatever that suits you at that time, you just do. When you need to sit, you sit. Relax, maintain awareness, and silence your mind. You can do it. If you are familiar with that, then do it. Then what I have actually taught you all is, the most relaxed way is lying down. You don't have to believe me. You give it a try, no harm. Then read the book on lying down meditation. I explain it very clearly. It's a thin book, I think. Based on one of the talk, they transcribe it. You can read it. The purpose of lying down meditation is because it's very relaxed. But you can only do lying down meditation after you have developed some form of awareness, stability of awareness. Otherwise, you cannot. Otherwise, when you lie down, you tend to doze off and sleep. But if you have developed some stability of awareness already, then when you lie down, you are completely relaxed and just aware. Then you silence everything and let the sankhara slow down. Then stabilize your awareness nature, means realize your true mind, your silent mind, like the unique code. When you just silent and relax, don't do anything, the mundane mind will slow down and finally return to its original state before the stirring, before the mundane thinking arise, before the aggregate arise. It will return to its true nature, which is the silent mind, the awareness nature. Meditation is to realize that and stabilize that. So lying down is the easiest. Whereas if you do sitting, if you can do sitting, you should also try because no harm. You can find out on your own. So most of the time, sitting come with methods and technique. Because without method and technique, they cannot sit. They don't know how to relax and maintain awareness. Don't think. Because if you do sitting, not long, you don't know how to relax, the pain will come. The problem will come. First, without a spiritual faculty, without a skillful means, a method or technique to anchor your mind, this mind think a lot. Then the mental hindrance surface. You feel restlessness, like you cannot meditate, a lot of thought, a lot of thinking. Then sometimes, because you are in that posture or sitting, you become sleepy. You doze off. Or sleepiness set in, sloth and torpor. Then the other, what they call mental hindrance, also arise. The doubt. So you're not sure, am I doing it correctly? So the thought keep on arising. Then the sensual desire and ill will, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sensation, it keep on oscillating inside you. That's why these people cannot meditate. So what they do is they come out with method and technique. Then they try to do it. But at least you understand it's okay. The method and technique is just an initial skillful means needed for you to develop sati. That's why anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath to train your mind so that you anchor it to the breathing, which is always in the present moment, to develop sati, mindfulness of what? In and out breath. And you don't always go and do without understanding. The purpose is to train your mind so that the awareness becomes stable. After it has stabilized, do not go deep into apana samadhi, absorption meditation, or focus and concentrate to build up the energy or what they call energy field. If you do that, then that is not the four foundation of mindfulness. Four foundation of mindfulness is anapanasati, just to develop the awareness, the mindfulness of the in and out breath. Then stabilize it until it enters sati. Until the breathing becomes so subtle, no more movement, then mind enters sati. When mind enters sati, then you can do the sitting, no problem. The moment you sit, you just aware at the nostril there. Or wherever you locate your mind, where your mind has entered sati, it will be aware. So it's the same. So when your mind has entered sati, any posture is the same. And you will know how to relax into it. That's why I can sit too. I can lie down too. I can do walking. I can relax. I can be any posture. And that is meditation. So the question arises when there is doubt. When you are not able to go back to the original focus or understanding of what is meditation. What are you doing in the name of meditation? Whether sitting or lying down. If you understand that, then no more question. That's why I always share with you all, there are time to sit. There are time to lie down. There are time to reflect, contemplate, and develop daily mindfulness. But all this cultivation brings about different understanding. So formal meditation like sitting and lying down is for you to stabilize the awareness nature, for you to develop the ability of the mind to enter sati, so that the awareness nature is very stable, so that when you come out of it, it can develop the daily mindfulness. that every moment of seeing is in sati, hearing is in sati, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process is in sati. Sometimes you can do the bowing, the constant bowing. Body and mind as one, you bow. You can recite, Namo Bun Si Si Chia Moni Fo. This is taught by Master Xuan Hua, my refuge teacher. Yeah. And I developed it before, and it's very useful, very beautiful. It also develops stability of mindfulness until my mindfulness become very, very stable. Then you can also do walking. I remember in the year 1989 when I was having the retreat at Cameron Highland, the San Pao Si, Sampo Temple. That was the first time my nature went into cessation. It was just a glimpse, but that was a beautiful moment. After that, a lot of Dhamma can be understood. That everything become clear. Just that moment of cessation, and I went into the oneness nature, and it was so beautiful. Then the moment my nature come out of it, I understood what those things were, and it was so beautiful. And that one, I did a lot of walking. I just relaxed, silent, aware, walk. And I don't walk in the meditation hall. I walk in the open, the ground floor there, where you walk to the kitchen, or you walk to the other side. From outside we come in, there are two long corridors next to the main hall. I just walk along there, along there. Where that area, most of the time, is without people, without activity, unless there is a functional one. Then I alternate between sitting and walking. And when I walk, after I did the walk, I also go for a casual walk to do reflection, contemplation, and inquiry. And I like to reflect and contemplate there because the nature there is very beautiful. That's why I did all this. So this understanding that was surface, when you do with the correct understanding of what is meditation. Meditation is to first develop heedfulness. Have you developed it? After you have developed it, then the sitting, the formal meditation, the lying down, become automatic. Then you go deep into it. You stabilize it. That is the purpose. Then, apart from that, you have your daily religious routine. You have to attend to your daily life. You have to be mindful in the midst of life. That's how sati sampajana come in, the daily mindfulness. Then, of course, when you are at home, whenever, before you sleep, you pay respect, triple jam. And maybe after that, you meditate. You do your simple routine. It can be for initially 10, 15 minutes, then later extend to about 20 minutes or half an hour. Then for those who can do it longer, maybe 45 minutes. You have the time. You are tired, go and sleep, relax, maintain awareness while in the sleeping posture. So when you are sleeping, you are also in the lying down posture. You are also meditating, relax, silent your mind, develop awareness. Just aware. Then this awareness nature will move. Then detect the gateway. So if you need to detect the gateway, the best way is the lying down meditation. Where that is the most relaxed posture. And when you're silent, completely relaxed and aware around the heart area, then that silent mind will detect the gateway. Then things will just happen. But you need to be patient. Initially, it's not easy for people who are new. You need to have faith. Patiently do. Then when you are really able to relax, then the awareness will come in. Then when the awareness come in, you will understand. You will understand. Then you will have joy. Then you will know what real sati is. Then the awareness nature and the thinking mind, they are very near. Very, very near. Because the moment the activity of mind or sankhara, the aggregates of mind arise, the mundane mind surface already. Then unless it sits back, the awareness nature, you are not able to detect it. That's why meditative training is to detect the awareness nature and stabilize it and let it develop that stability until it's very stable. And then you will progress. You will become very different. So hopefully with this explanation, more and more people can develop the understanding that you can meditate with proper understanding. So Chin Hao, hopefully this explanation will help you. So it's good that you ask, because I also know many people don't understand. It's not a question of when should I do sitting, when should I do lying down. There is no hard and fast rule. Everyone is different. It's up to you. When you understand, you will know what to do. Okay,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, sadhu. Reason why that I brought up this question is because recently I've been outside a Buddhist friend just been discussing with me about meditation. So he was saying that, you know, for his way of like sort of like sitting meditation, their way, they are some yardstick to see, you know, where is their progress, you know. You see, so he asked me, you see, what is my yardstick in lying down? You see, I don't know how to. He said that, you know, for his way of like sitting, you know, initially it's like, you know, I can, the breathing is very, very, and then later on it's like silent, there's no breathing, you know, and all this kind of yardstick, you see. So to see, of course, he said that in his life, in daily life, he noticed himself also can be like less sort of like the attitude is better and all those kind of things, you see. So that's why he asked me what is the yardstick for the, you know, like now. That's why, you see, I brought this, so reason why I brought this question.
What did you answer him?
Well, I said that I said that it's, I mean, I say to do the lying down, first of all, you have, I mean, for me, you need to feel the heartbeat, you know?
Yeah.
And then later on, then I say, then you just lying down, and then I say, just stay with it and observe the heartbeat of the body sensation, you see? But I did tell him that it's challenging because it's not as all the time that you want to, you know, stay with the silent, then it can be, because the thought will just come on and off, will come in and those kind of things, you see.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
This is very good. This is very good for a beautiful discussion. But my advice to you, Jin Hao, don't tell people or teach people lying down meditation until they have developed the stability of mindfulness. Otherwise, you make them very confused.
No, I didn't teach them, you see. It's just that
they don't know what this thing is. So it's not whether lying down is better or sitting is better. It's nothing to do with that. So what is important is when they don't understand the real meditation, they use that so-called yardstick. Yardstick means what? Experience. But if you don't have the understanding, the experience to me is no use. Because it's a conditioned mind. When he developed that sitting, whether he do anapanasati or he could be focusing, going into absorption, calmness. That's why he said become more and more quiet, more and more still, then more and more joy. Of course, the piti, the sukha, all those things can come. So he thought this is progress, the yardstick. But you don't believe me, you tell him, if after he neglect training, No need to be long. 3 months. If he don't constantly sit, you go and ask him again. Is he calm? Is he peaceful? Or is he back to the usual heedless, unenlightened being's behavior again? The thinking, the sankhara, the emotion, everything go back to square one. No change at all. No transformation at all. The real progress is different. We don't call it a yardstick. Maybe the word yardstick is not so appropriate. Some people use another word which is better. What is the measurement for progress? Yeah. Of course, measurement and use the yardstick to measure, you may think it's the same. Yeah. But we are not talking about knowledge. We are not talking about meditative experience. We are talking about meditation. Why do you meditate? And what is meditation? Of course, meditation is a loose word, like I explained last time. But in the Buddhist sense, meditation is bhavana, mental training, meditative training, to develop wisdom, to free the mind. That is meditation. So if you want to develop that type of meditation, then it is the understanding and the wisdom that is the measurement or the word yesterday. To me, it's not all the experience, the various mind state, meditative experience that you go through. No use. You don't believe, you ask him to try. When they don't sit and don't train their mind, it's like Kung Fu or badminton, they deteriorate. Unless they had developed until very stable, with very good understanding, then at any one time, they can still gain back their ability to be in that state of mind. Now, if they can do that until their daily mindfulness is within that meditative state, means throughout the day they are in that meditative state, then their sankhara is like no more. The best yardstick is you have less and less thought, more and more awareness. Then there is this awakening, direct seeing. There is this penetrative understanding of the Dhamma. Then you can live it. And you realize you have become different. You cannot do the thing that normal people used to do. And you cannot stir and react to sense experience, the like and dislike, the pleasant and unpleasant. All these mental hindrance, the sensual desire and ill will, they are like suddenly disappear from you. And that is the real sign, the real measurement or understanding that you have transformed, you have progressed. Otherwise, it's just a conditioned state. That's why all this so-called sitting, a lot of people find it in and out of retreat. They do sitting, walking, chanting, retreat, long period. After that, they go back within 1 week, 2 weeks, they lost everything. Because without the daily mindfulness, without sati sampajana, without the true penetrative awakening and the understanding, you cannot be in the state of heedfulness in the midst of life. That's where they fail to develop the understanding of meditation. And meditation is not what people think. That's why your discussion with him, I find it very interesting. That's why I laugh just now. Because I don't blame them. Even your friend, at least he thinks that is a yesterday, is not too bad. At least he experienced some form of calmness, peacefulness, subtle mind. Yeah, the breathing become more subtle, more peaceful. That is as if his life has changed, has improved. But this is a conditioned state. Always remember, like you practice and practice and practice, then you become skillful. That's it. Because you didn't develop the wisdom, the awakening. The real wisdom comes from listening attentively to the Dhamma, the true Dhamma, then reflect, contemplate, inquiry, and understand. Do the first turning, second turning, and third turning, and go into light. The second turning is to go into light. The third turning also go into light because daily mindfulness, sati sampajana. That's why the clear comprehension of the domain of meditation is life itself. So the domain of meditation is also very important. Sincerity of purpose. You meditate for what? You cultivate to develop what? Wisdom. Not the fantastic experience. Not the fantastic meditative mind. That one without wisdom is still knowledge. A conditioned state. It can never free a person or liberate the mind. That's why that is thought-based meditation. That is repetitive, using method technique. Even those who do anapanasati, I already told you, the four foundation of mindfulness is very clear. After you finish anapanasati, you have to go into mindfulness of the four posture, followed by sati sampajana, daily mindfulness and clear comprehension. Means heedfulness in the midst of life. If you don't do this, you cannot penetrate. So what they are doing is only the first part, sitting. Can be any method, any technique. May not be anapanasati too. Even anapanasati, if you go into absorption, you go into focusing, concentration, develop all the jhana and all those things, you will not be able to come out of it. You will not be able to develop the real wisdom. That was what the Bodhisattva Sakyamuni did before he became fully enlightened under the Bodhi tree. He followed the two teachers, Alara and Udaka. And they taught him all the jhanas until he realized the four form jhana and the four formless jhana. And he achieved them all. He realized that. But he knew he was still not enlightened. So all this are the understanding that people must have. If they don't have this understanding, they will end up become a normal cultivator. That's why I say this type of understanding or meditation is not easy. It's not something people can easily understand. So your discussion with him is useful because it can teach people to develop the understanding. And I like to use your example because I find it very interesting and very amusing. Because I don't blame both of you. If both of you are in that stage that you all are going through cultivation or what we call so-called Buddhist meditation or training. He also don't have the real understanding yet. For you, you may have the some form of understanding, but your understanding is not stable enough for you to explain to him because you don't have the clarity. That's why today you ask is very good, so that I can explain and you can develop clearer understanding. Then later on, when you stabilize and have your own understanding and the wisdom, then you can share and teach, no problem. That is very easy to talk to that person. So if he wants to know more, he can actually go and maybe find out on his own, cultivate on his own. Or if he is interested, you can ask him to attend our sharing, our class. Listen to some of the sharing, especially today's sharing. You ask him to listen. Then it will help both of you. Both of you. Okay, Jinhao?
Yeah, sadhu, Pratio. Your explanation is very, very good. I mean, to me also, because I'm just, you know, I mean, it's still considered new to me for lying down, is it?
And so for you to be able to discuss with him until that stage is already considered pretty good because you are very new, but you have progressed because of that. You can actually develop some form of discussion with him. That's why when he talked about yardstick, it's different from yours. Yours, you tell him when you are able to, like, means without stethoscope or any aid, you can hear your heartbeat. If that person can understand, means you have sati, understand or not? You have stabilized your sati. Otherwise, you cannot feel your own heartbeat without the stethoscope. Just by relaxing, silent, lying down, you can never feel your heartbeat, I tell you. Unless you have trained and developed the understanding. That's why you have some form of stability. Yeah. Then, ability to feel the heartbeat is just the very beginning of real lying down meditation. Yeah. It's to maintain the awareness. To be able to be aware. Just aware. No need to know anything. The form and mind will move. The sankhara activity will move. Because you are a human being, understand? You have the consciousness trapped inside. The physical body has the five senses and the brain, the sixth sense. So upon contact, things happen. So meditation is to develop awareness to understand what is going on. So that you understand who are you, what are you, and what is all this movement. That apart from all this movement, there is an awareness that is just aware. It's not a being. It's not an entity. It's not a person or a permanent unchanging entity that you can say, this is me, this is I. No, it's just an awareness nature, aware. Realize that. That is your true mind. That is your true nature. That is the unconditioned awareness, the first to come out. So all this understanding, when you have stabilized it, then you will be able to understand more and more of the meditative process, more and more of the transformation that happened during meditation. Then you will understand what is wisdom and how to link and connect all the teachings of the Buddha, the essential Dhamma, and how all my sharing come about. You can understand just by being aware. That's all. That's why without awareness, there is no meditation. Awareness is the true mind, the silent mind, not thought-based meditation. That's why to do lying down, you need to have sati. That's why I told you, don't teach people to do lying down unless and until they have stabilized their sati. If they cannot, they can try. Chances is they doze off, they sleep, they snore. Like what happened to you initially. Yeah. But later on, luckily, you know how to maintain awareness. Then you do the bowing, your faith very strong. Then you do the constant listening to the Dhamma, reflection, contemplation. Then the Heart Sutra help you all slowly develop some form of understanding. Then the unique code also come in and help you. Then you all, like, all of a sudden become more well-versed with this, and you have faith, and you dare to try. Then you follow the unique code, relax, maintain awareness, the four support. Then you go in like what Po Ching did. Then you are able to experience all this. All this meditation, they arise through the silent mind, the meditative training through that awareness nature, which is the first hallmark of winning. No thought, wu nian. That's why you meditate from the true mind, the silent mind, the awareness nature. That is the one that can awaken. So hopefully all this will help. Sadhu to you.
Yeah, sadhu, sadhu. I think today is very, very helpful to me.
Yeah, very helpful. But today is the missing link that a lot of people don't understand. Because there is no condition to explain. Nobody asked. Luckily you asked. That's why I say you all must ask. While my nature is still around, anything you don't know, you better ask.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, there is no condition to share, and all this understanding cannot arise. That's why today we are so lucky, you know. We end so early, you know. We end 9:40, you know. So we got 50 minutes to share. You know? That's why until now still got 13 more minutes before 10:30. So sorry to you, you know.
Yeah, but like I understand from what you're sharing today is like, you know, lying down is just part of it, but also we need to constantly listen to a Dharma, contemplate, you know, reflect and all these things.
Yeah, all these are the whole...
That's right. It's a whole package.
Range. No, complete range of training. Yeah. That is what cultivation is all about. So when it comes to cultivation, it's cultivate all the three turning. The Avijja Sutta, the 10 steps, and all these things. But when it comes to meditation, it's not cultivation alone. Cultivation is a complete field. Meditation is specific to third turning, actually. Third turning. So when it goes to third turning, it's more of formal meditation and daily mindfulness. That's why a lot of people cannot understand. They become confused. They thought just sit. Or go retreat, sitting, walking. No! There are time to go to retreat. But the whole range of cultivation is, it is life itself, include daily mindfulness, religious routine, everything, the three turning. So meditation is not what people think. That's why a lot of people got it wrong. They thought all the sitting, the vipassana, the word. In fact, most of it are thought-based meditation. Hardly anybody do awareness-based meditation. You can go and find out on your own. Since you have interact with so many people, you know. That's why that Brother Chong, you remember? That wrote to me, then I introduced him to you. He know that what I teach is so different. That's why he keep on telling you, you just follow what Brother Teo teach. That's it, finish. Otherwise you cannot penetrate. Yeah. He himself also stuck for very long. He couldn't actually understand all this until he heard my sharing. Then he has been listening and trying to develop his own until finally he said he cannot wait already. He wants to see me. That's why he contacted me and he came to see me at my house. And he has some condition to come to know you. That's why you all discuss a lot of things. Then, of course, you all also have some discussion and learning and all that. But what is important is you must have the understanding in order to progress. Otherwise, it's not easy. Even what he shared with you is limited to what he understands. So you also need to have that clear understanding. Based on what he understands, he can only teach you up to that level. Just the full picture is not easy. The full understanding of this thing is not easy. He may have some of his past. That's why he can understand certain aspect of my sharing and all those things, and he find it very interesting. But he can't really describe a lot of things. But good enough. It's actually very rare to find such a person like him, who without seeing me can understand a lot of my sharing and teaching. That's why I told you, he must have his past, otherwise he can't. So there are a lot of things that as you go through, you will develop better understanding. Then later on, when you progress and transform, you yourself will understand all this. My daughter has something to add.
Amitabha, Brother Jinhao and Kayanamita. As I listened to my dad's explanation and the discussion with Brother Jinhao, I thought about the analogy, I in my mind, I often draw the analogy for meditation as training of the mind, and it is similar to how exercise is training for the body. So there are many different purposes. Some people want to train their mind to compare prowess. It's like how some people go jogging to run 5 kilometers, then 10 kilometers, then I must win a marathon, I must win 10 marathons. Some people do that. And then there are some that train the body, they go to the gym or whatever. Whatever they do, whether it's yoga, swimming, they want to just keep the body healthy and be able to have the longevity of their muscles and their bones throughout life. I find that kind of exercise more practical. So similarly, training of the mind for daily mindfulness will be able to allow you to understand yourself more and to help you find your meaning in life. So that is a more holistic view to meditation versus, you know, the other kind of exercise where you go and only do jogging because you only want to win marathon. It's similar to that, I find. And different people have different kinds of body, so they do different kinds of exercises. And different type of lifestyle makes you neglect different parts of the body. So you have to find your supplementary exercises for your lifestyle. Similarly, different natures come to this world with different mission and purpose. So they will cultivate differently. Like, that's how I view meditation. I hope this analogy helps.
Sadhu. Yeah, sadhu.
We should rejoice. So like what my daughter shared is very true too. Because if you look at meditation, in fact, you look at our Chinese culture, you realize a lot of people do very different type of meditation, especially Mahayana. Last time I used to hear they got the energy field one, or the Tian, or don't know what, the big cycle and the small cycle, and they use their thought to direct the qi one. Then there's also the qi gong people that go for qi gong training and store the energy at the dan tian. That's why it depends on your purpose. If you want to do that for health, for longevity, like the Tao. The Taoist, I won't call it the Tao, because Lao Tzu didn't teach those things. But the Taoists who practice all this, they actually harness the qi for health and for vitality and various type of purpose or reason. So it's up to you. Like people who do qi gong, they actually train themselves to develop the qi. And they make use of the qi for whatever purpose they want to use it. Then tai chi is different again. Tai chi is to learn to actually accord and flow and use people's energy or force to hit back at people. But those are more of martial art. So most of this training, they have their individual purpose or intent. But when it comes to meditation, that's why I say Buddhist meditation is different. Like meditation, the word is so loose. In fact, some call yoga a meditation. Because if you develop yoga in a certain way that make you peaceful, calm, relaxed, and train your mind to be more calm, more peaceful, more tranquil, more still, more flexible. That is also called meditation, which is not wrong. Very yoga meditation. Like you develop loving kindness to that thought-based radiation. Of course, later on you can use your nature to radiate too. Then it becomes loving kindness meditation, bhavana. Your soul intent is to develop metta. That's why it's called metta bhavana. Bhavana is meditation. So metta bhavana is meditative training to develop metta. Then various type of meditation, kundalini meditation is energy field. Samatha meditation, concentration, is all energy field. Most of these are thought-based meditation. The Hindu 40 meditation object is to focus, concentrate, and develop all the jhanas. So that word is very loose. But as far as the Buddha is concerned, bhavana is meditative training to awaken, to develop the wisdom to understand clearly what is life, who are we, what are we, and how we can with that wisdom awaken and liberate our mind so that we don't suffer anymore. So that one is spiritual, developing wisdom. So when you understand, then meditation become very clear, very specific. That's why the Buddha start off by saying, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas the heedless are as if dead. So all of meditation start from heedfulness. If you are not heedful, you are as if dead. You don't stand a chance to progress, to have that spiritual understanding. Because the heedless are as if dead. So heedfulness is the most important. So what is heedfulness? To be heedful is to be ever mindful and constantly meditative. Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23. So from there, the whole teaching of meditation come about. First thing about meditation is, am I training myself to be heedful? Otherwise, I'm as if dead. I don't stand a chance. The heedless are as if dead. That's why I need to train myself to be heedful. And to be heedful, there are two qualities, ever mindful, constantly meditative. So to be ever mindful, I must first train the mind to be mindful. Then stabilize it to be ever mindful. And what is mindfulness? Awareness before the knowing. That is your true mind, the silent mind. That's how meditation starts, the understanding. Then from there, stabilize the awareness and use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Ultimately, it's Noble Eightfold Path. But this is the fourth noble truth, the Buddha said. If you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, which is his meditation, it will lead to the end of all suffering. That is the purpose of meditation, to develop wisdom to liberate your mind so that you don't have to suffer anymore. So hopefully with this, you all can now develop the full understanding of the Buddhist meditation. Okay? You know, Sadhu?
Yeah, Sadhu, very good revision today.
Sadhu. The whole thing become very clear now, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
So Sadhu, we don't have to worry about what people say, because meditation is like a very loose word. Oh, I meditate. I'm doing meditation. But what type of meditation? Ah, that word is very important. What type of meditation? Ah, it's not how long you sit. If it's by duration of sitting, then you have more experience or more advanced, then the frog that always sit will become enlightened too. But how come they are not enlightened? It's not the sitting. It's the bhavana, the meditative training. How you train? The complete full range that the Buddha has taught is the cultivation. That is the training. If you don't train that way, no way you can awaken. I can guarantee you now. You don't believe me, you can try. That's why a lot of people try and fail. Last time I used to have students from the early years also same. They have been meditating for 20, 30, 40 years, some 40 over years. And finally, after attending my class for a few years, you know what they said to me? Brother Theo, luckily we met you. Otherwise, you'll be still wasting your time. There was one lady, very serious. She really determined, in and out of retreat. And she, like, gave up her job. She's an IT girl. She did computer science last time. Yeah. So what happened was, she every time, every year, 6 months, he would not work. He will just go for retreat. Very serious. Then 6 months, he tried to get some contract or temporary job. Then he survived for the other 6 months. And he had been doing that. Then he told me, you know, Bertie, what you say is very true. Once out of retreat, can't even maintain that mind state for even 1 or 2 weeks. Go back to like before, as if there was no training at all. Then she realized she still has anger, emotion, unhappiness. The sankhara still very active, the restlessness of mind, the mental hindrance, they are still very latent in her. It's only when she's at the retreat, she's able to calm down, peaceful. That's why she likes to go for retreat. Keep on going for retreat, in and out of retreat, but no use. Because I told her, that is not the way. What you are doing is all thought-based. It's not awareness-based. It's not the complete field of cultivation, training. You have not developed the understanding. That time, the five aggregate of form and mind also, they can't understand. So when I introduced the three turning, or the four noble truth and the five aggregate of form, they got a shock of their life. They never heard this teaching before. And the four noble truth I teach with the three turning is so different from what they used to hear. And they are so like gullible, so tempted with all the meditative experience, the jhana, the insight knowledges, the all the fantastic vipassana, all the words. That's why finally people realize after so long, so many years, you hardly see anybody transform, progress to the level where you can really come out and share and teach and manifest in life to show people that this is possible. So today's sharing, I think, is very good, very beautiful. So sadhu to you, Jinhao, for having the condition, and also to my daughter. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Today's sharing is a very good revision.
Yes. This is fellowship. This is not meditation reporting, Pamasri, don't worry. Okay.
Especially there's one part in finite meeting
Sutta.
Yes.
Sutra or infinite meaning.
It mentioned about you have to practice, put it in yourself and practice it. In Mahayana, I said, Suan Jing.
Yeah, but the full range of cultivation is more than that. It's not just that word practice. A lot of people use the word practice.
No, it's a.
Correct. Means the words are there. But how do you do it? That's why I say the Mahayana Sutta is for enlightened being. So it's beautiful. Yeah, means the Dhamma, after you have developed the listening or the understanding, you have to put it into practice, which is correct. You have to cultivate it. So cultivation involves a lot of things. The three turnings, the Abhijja Sutta, or the steps. And all the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught, they are all interconnected. Even from our sharing, the daily religious routine, all these things, is a very comprehensive training. Even the four foundations of mindfulness, the Abhijja Sutta and all those things. So these are the missing teachings. These are the detailed teachings. Can follow or not, Pamasri? Well, I realize you become very interested in all the words of the Mahayana. I don't deny that, because there is beautiful meaning. But you have to go deeper now into understanding all those things and stabilize the understanding so that you can express them. So that you don't just, like most of the Mahayana, they get excited over the sutta.
Because the word is so beautiful, like Xing Jing, everything, even Liang Yi Jing or whatever. They listen because they have been conditioned into that type of listening. Then it's like just now what was shared by Master Shen Yan. If you have the initial wisdom, but if you don't go into life, vast experience and training, you can never comprehend the true Dhamma, the true appearances. You cannot penetrate ultimate reality. That is the meaning. Because your training has to be very comprehensive, very complete, based on the understanding of the teaching. So, I realize you are very much attracted to all the beautiful words, because you are Mandarin based. And you have the Dhamma understanding to the extent that can make you appreciate. So when you do that, if you overdo that or overfocus on that, you will miss out on the understanding of the real cultivation. Because the real cultivation is more important. You have listened to enough of those words to motivate you. Enough already. But now it's the cultivation itself. Move into it. That one is more important. Can you follow, Master?
Yes.
So that part I realized you actually didn't see. But what you have gone through is beautiful, because you have the Mandarin base, you are Mandarin educated, and you have the Dhamma understanding. That's why all this appear very beautiful to you. But you have heard them enough, understand? Now is the time to go in and develop the missing link, the actual cultivation, the full range of essential Dhamma and understanding. Well, I realized that one, a lot of cultivators cannot understand. We have nobody to teach them. But for you all, you have the teaching. You have all this recording. So go into it and do it. That's why for Po Cheng, it's the other way around. She doesn't understand so much of what you understand in the Mahayana. He cannot appreciate that much. But she went into the cultivation. That's why after she went into the cultivation, she transformed. Now, everything about Mahayana or what that you just read out to her or what, she will penetrate deeper than what you have understood. Because she went into the cultivation. And you look at her like she doesn't know anything. She's like actually a very good sponge, absorb very fast. Then, whatever I share now, even like that day, the last session, the Sigaloada Sutta, or about the duty of right duty is right Dhamma, she can penetrate very fast. She linked to life. She linked to all those Noble Eightfold Path understanding. So all this is because she went into the cultivation. That's why that part I wanted to actually give you the understanding. Yeah. So today I think you receive it already. So hopefully you can go into the cultivation part and stabilize that. And just do like my wife share. Don't want to know. Just do. Then do your duty. Live life. Cultivate. And now, of all the beautiful Dhamma, of course, you hear them, you can rejoice again. But when you go into the cultivation and you complete the training, you become different again. Then later on, when you listen to all this sutra and teaching again, the penetrative understanding is so different. Your nature will surface. Your nature will arise. Then that time you can appreciate and share. Well, I realize now you still have problem with sharing, with reporting, because a lot of things are still not clear inside you. So this is the part, hopefully. Pamasri?
Yes, benefit you.
Because you are very sincere, I know. And you have the faith. The only thing is the doing part, the cultivation. You have to go into it. But that is the only missing link. You have done some, but you really need to go into it. The first turning, second turning, third turning, the Avijja Sutta, go into it and do it constantly. The daily religious routine, the daily mindfulness, stabilize that. Then you will understand. Even Ingby, they all, Alicia, they all, they did the daily mindfulness. That's why daily mindfulness is a must. You have to develop it. Otherwise, all the Dhamma alone, it is actually limited. Not much beneficial result anymore. Because you have heard enough of all this to give you the faith to drive you. So now is the cultivation. You have to go into it. Okay? Mama Sri?
Yes, thank you, Brother.